Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Ezra for our next reading. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build it unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and the hands of the, and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam and Midratat and Tabeel and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then wrote Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe and the rest of the Apharsathites and the Tarpelites and the Apharsites and the Archivites and the Babylonians and the Susankites and the Dehavites and the Elamites and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria and the rest that are on this side the river and at such a time. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants, the men on this side the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which come up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have removed, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause this city was destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river. Then set the king an answer unto Rehum, the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwelt in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give you now commandment to cause the men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have then, number one, in the last chapter, the great advancement of the kingdom of God in the days of Ezra when they were building the temple, the city, and had rebuilt the altar and began to reestablish in the days of the restoration those ordinances that God had given them. There was great enthusiasm, great dedication. There was great unanimity between them. And so notice that the wiles, the difficulties of the enemy were not particularly effective upon them at that time. He used, what does he normally use? Well, he uses dissent. He uses jealousies. He uses all kinds of things like that. Well, it seems that as far as the church is concerned, that there was really no difficulty there. They were hunkered down. They were head down in their work. They put one foot in front of the other. They were building and rebuilding things. And they were doing all that they were supposed to do. And so the enemy of our souls changed his strategy, first of all, to attack them surreptitiously. And so you have some folks that come to them and say, you know, we'd love to help. Because here's what happened. Our king, when Samaria was overthrown, he moved us in here. And ever since he moved us in here, we've been worshiping the God of this place. And so we really hope that you rebuild this temple. In fact, we want to help you build it. Now, notice that they're lying. Okay? The writer tells us, Ezra tells us very clearly that they're lying. It says, the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard. Okay, they're not their friends. They are their adversaries. And very often our adversary desires to join himself to us to overturn the work of the Lord. We must understand that. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy of our souls. And often then we find that the adversaries of the gospel, the adversaries of the scriptures, the adversaries of God desire to join themselves to the people of God to weaken their resolve for the work of God. That's what's going on here. But notice the wondrous response of Zerubbabel and Jeshua. And they say, you have nothing to do with us to build this house. Nothing to do with us. Your confession is not our confession. Your lineage is not our lineage. Your worship is not our worship. We understand that you say that you've been worshiping the true God, but you have no part with us. We will build according to the commandment of the king Cyrus and according to Cyrus as he has been directed of God to command us to build. That's how we will build. And so the first strategy of the enemy then is defeated. He's defeated in that they won't let them join in with them in building. Now that may sound exclusivist. It may sound racist. It may sound all kinds of things to 21st century ears, but it was exactly the right response in that day. They had no part nor lot in that matter. This is like Jesus speaking to the woman at the well of Jacob in Samaria. And he says, you Samarians, you worship, you don't know what. Salvation is of the Jews. And so, yes, in those days, it was a perfectly valid thing to say. You have no part with us in building. There is a providential, if not supernatural, preservation also of the work at that time, because the leadership of the church and the state at that point in time was given that discerning to ascertain that they were not in support of the true religion. Okay, so what do we pray for then? How do we make use of this? We make use of it in that we don't join hands with unbelievers, even for what we perceive to be a good work. There's a difficulty there. And our age has no shortage of those kinds of things, right? Some of you perhaps have read last year in 2017, in the 500th year of the anniversary of Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the wall on the church door at Wittenberg, that the Pope and some leaders of some Protestant churches gathered together and put out what they called a joint statement on justification. Okay? Well, may I rename that as a disjoint statement against the doctrine of justification. But notice what happened. Some Protestant folks joined together with those who pretended to be their friends and compromised. There's no shortage of that kind of opportunity today. Back in, I guess it was the 80s or 90s, it was evangelicals and Catholics together. And there have been other statements like that for, you know, quote unquote, common cause. We want to purge our culture. Well, it is difficult, isn't it, to make any kind of common cause with people that we have so very little in common with as it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, the understanding of salvation by grace alone through faith alone, the understanding of authority in the church, that it is the Bible and not councils nor hierarchy, magisterium that is in authority. And so, yeah, that's a very difficult thing. We must be careful. And then secondly, we must pray. We must pray to have the same kind of discernment that Zerubbabel and Joshua had here. That we not be led aside through our natural inclination to be magnanimous and forgiving. Yes, as Christians we do have that kind of an inclination. But let us also have, along with those good traits, the good trait of wisdom and discernment also, to know what's right. Okay, so now in this next portion, we have, and that's verses 7 through the end of the chapter, what we have is a lengthy section that is not really chronological. You can tell even by reading it that it skips around. It names three kings and so on. There's a succession going on here that ends up with Darius the Mede, Darius the Persian. Okay, and in all of that, then there's a letter that goes back and forth where there is a particular accusation made against the folks that are carrying on the work. So, not being able to foment dissension in the church, not being able to join evil men with the church to foment that dissension, then the enemy of our souls takes up another strategy, and that is to. Although it was the civil magistrate that that rose up and said, go build, now in a successive magistrate, we find the command, stop building. Isn't this an interesting thing, especially when we remember that, as it says in the book of Daniel, that the decree of the Medes and Persians is unalterable. Seems like it's alterable when you need it to be alterable, right? And so they accuse Jerusalem of being a seditious city. Is that a true accusation? No, it's not. And it's not perspectivalism either. Let's remember this, that while to the kings in the east, it may have appeared that Jerusalem was a seditious city, remember that Jerusalem was operating under a divine mandate to move into the land of Canaan and to kill all of those seven nations that were there and to set up a kingdom. In fact, that kingdom is mentioned in the return letter from the king to the dissenters, where they say, of old time, this city Jerusalem also had kings, and the people all over the place served them. And so now what do they see? They see if they rebuild this city, we might have a rival kingdom there. Not just will we have a rabble-rousing city, but a rival kingdom. And so the command that Cyrus received, which he was good to obey, returned the Jews so that they might build. Now the successive king says, stop them from building. I'm afraid of what might happen if I allow them to go on and to build. And that is essentially how the chapter ends. Then ceased the work of the house which God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. All right, well, we're going to see what the people of Jerusalem do and what their plans are in response to that in the next chapter. Lord willing, 2 weeks hence. Okay, so let's stand and continue.